Well, good afternoon to you all. Thank you. Can we pray? Father, we love you. We love you this afternoon. I thank you, Lord, that I get to be with a group of young people who love you. Lord, I ask you that you would give us grace and give us faith, Lord, as we look again this afternoon at this journey, this lifelong journey of following you. Will you please bless my words, my mouth, and bless the ears of all who listen. We love you, Father. We need you. I just come asking, please, take this little vessel, Lord, and make it profitable here this afternoon, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you have your little booklets? Open it up to the next section. Right at the top, the title. Patient continuance dash, the other half of revival. Patient continuance, then you have a little dash, the other half of revival. Then if you'd write this sentence down in the little statement section right underneath the title, write this little sentence. Patience is consistently doing what's right, regardless of my feelings or circumstances. I'll say it again. Patience is consistently doing what's right, regardless of my feelings or circumstances. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 2 once you have that down. Do I need to say it again? Romans chapter 2. We're going to jump here in the middle. And we're going to look at this little word, patient continuance. And then I'll connect it with our overall scheme here. But if you open to Romans chapter 2, I'm just going to jump in the middle. We should start. Oh, Paul has quite a lengthy exposition here. And so we're going to jump in the middle rather than get all of it. Let's jump in at about verse 5. Verse 5, Romans 2, verse 5. And I'm going to read a few verses unless I get stuck with a little explanation as we go along. I might. Verse 5, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, I know we're jumping in the middle, bear with me here a minute. Impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who, God, will render to every man according to his deeds. So there's going to come a time, here it's saying in Romans, there's going to come a time when God will render to every man according to his deeds. And to them, now he's pointing out, he's going to point out a couple of different people. In the end, God's going to reward according to your deeds, and there are two classes of people he's going to divide here. To them, one class, who by patient continuance, there's our little word, patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal what?
Life.
Remember yesterday? Remember life? Remember that life that is an absolutely essential ingredient as we look at the long term and as we want to be faithful in the long haul and we want to be faithful to our Lord for the long haul. There's this absolutely essential ingredient called life that must be in us. And by the way, we all know this, but this is the one thing that we have as Christians that is totally different than all other religions and all other in the world. There's life, God in me. But anyway, if we want eternal life, there's something that God put here in verse 7 that must be a part of us if we are to continue to fester and grow this life. Okay, there's something that must be here for this life to continue. If we want eternal life, life that doesn't just start in eternity, life that starts now and goes on for eternity. But for this life, there must be something else. There must be patient continuance in well-doing. Patient continuance. We'll see. I'm going to give you a list of verses also, just as I did the other day, to look up. And usually this word in the Greek is translated patience. And that's it. Here we have patient continuance. Usually it's just patience. But as you go through the New Testament, you'll find that word many, many times. This little word, patience. And, you know, our tendency in the English language today, the way we use patience is, I'm waiting on you, and I'm trying to be patient, and I wish you'd hurry up, and I've been waiting for... They had to wait on me out in the van for a few minutes. One of them said 30 minutes, and then said not actually that long, but I'm not sure how long it was. They had to be patient. But that's actually not what this is talking about. There's some connection. But this word patience has much more to do with perseverance. Patient continuance. Uphill, downhill, lowlands, highlands, mountaintops, deserts, patient continuance. One foot down in front of the other. That's the picture I get as I look at this word. Patient continuance. And young people, this is what I'm calling, you saw in the title, the other half of revival. As you look down through history, there have been many, many times when God has beautifully met with His people, and we call it revival, and we say, God met with the people, and they became the people of God, and there was a beautiful manifestation of God, and they began to walk in holiness, and they began to walk in beautiful ways of God and all this, and we call this revival. But there's what I call the other half of revival. And that is when the feelings are gone, and the circumstances are different, and, you know, you're not in the midst of Bible school anymore. And you're going through everyday life. And you got up that morning. And you had your quiet time, but it just wasn't overflowing that morning. And you run into this problem in life. And you run into that problem in life. And your flesh kicks up here. And self kicks up here. There's the other half of revival that needs to kick in. And it's what? Thank you. Patience. I might say patient sometimes patient continuance. Please forgive me. I mean the same thing. Many times in the Word, it uses patience rather than patient continuance. Patient continuance. Or perseverance. A steady persistence. This is a dictionary definition. Steady persistence in adhering to a course of action, a belief, or a purpose. Steadfastness. Just steadfast. Do you know some people? I'm going to guess. If we talk about being steadfast, you could think of someone who you think of people that you know in your life, and you think, yeah, solid, steadfast. That person's just faithful. Day in and day out, he's faithful. This is what I'm calling the other half of revival. Oh, I pray that you meet with God this week. As you have times of prayer, and as you have times of sharing, and as you have times of meditating on the Word of God, I pray you meet with God in a life-changing way. I have many times, and I thank God for it, and I continually seek. God, meet with me in a life-changing way, and I especially had them when I got to be at Bible school years ago. And so that's one of my longings. God, meet with them. Meet with each one right where they're at. But you're going to need the other half of revival in 2 weeks. Even if you deeply meet with God here. Yes, maybe God will keep going and there will be a deep intimacy with Him and you'll walk on with faithfulness and He will meet with you. But there's going to be times when you feel like, Lord, where are you? What's going on? I don't have a lot of feelings. And we need to know what patience is. Patient continuance. Consistently doing what's right, regardless of my feelings or circumstances. Verse 7, to them who by patience, back to Romans here, by patient continuance in well-doing, doing the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. Seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. Sometimes, just the other day, this happens frequently. It's a little phrase I'd like to stick in my boys' minds. And so though they're not very big, it's a little phrase I still use. I made some comment about, oh, it's time to do our chores, something like that. And one of my boys said, oh, I don't feel like it. And so I asked him this little phrase, well, son, do we do what we feel like or do we do what's right? That's what patient continuance is. I don't feel like it, but I do what's right. God, this doesn't feel very nice. And I don't really like it, but it's right. I'm going to do it. And this over here may not feel real good, and I don't really like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. You know, I'm kind of getting myself ahead of myself here a little bit. Let's go back to Romans 2. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. So if we want this life in us, there must be patient continuance taking us on. Verse 8. But unto them who are the opposite. Okay? But. So there are some who patiently, continually press on doing good, doing right. And there's life in them and this feeds their life and strengthens their life. But. The other side. Unto them who are contentious. That's the opposite of patient continuance. But to them who are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good. To the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. So here we have patient continuance feeding this life. Patient continuance feeding this life. And the opposite, contentious and don't obey the truth. You know, that can look kind of harsh sometimes. We can say, okay, yeah, well, I want to do what's right and I usually do what's right, so I don't sin and, you know, just blatantly and all that. But do you make the right choice? Do you do what's right even when you don't feel like it all the time? That's the other half of revival. God, I'll be faithful whether I feel like it or not. It's the beautiful paradox of the gospel. You find the Apostle Paul and you find Silas. And they're sitting with their hands tied and they're sitting on a stone floor and they're tied there. And they're in absolute misery, and there's a chance that the very next day they'll have their heads chopped off or they'll be beaten or something like that. And most of us don't tend to like those circumstances. And what do we find them doing? What are they doing? Singing. You know what they did? They were patient in their tribulation. They sat on the stones, and they had their hands in probably steel. And there they sat in all the misery of whatever it was. And they made a choice. Lord, Paul, let's sing. Good Silas, let's sing. Blood running down our backs. Sitting on cold stone floor. This doesn't feel like we're having a big revival meeting. But I'm going to be patient. Excuse me. I'm going to be patient. And I'm going to choose. Silas, let's sing. All right, Paul, let's sing. And they started singing. Do you know what they did? They made a choice. They made a choice when the circumstances were a wreck, to say the least. And the circumstances were not conducive to feelings and whatever, good excitement, whatever. And they made a choice and they said, God, we're going to do what's right, not what we feel like. We're going to do what's right, not the way circumstances are. Young people, we need to learn that. It's the same reason that you find a Stephen. And here he is in the paradoxes of it all. Getting stoned, bashing, stones smashing into his head. And he's dying, and he looks up, and his face is shining. That's right, even before when he was preaching, his face was shining. Why? Stephen was doing what's right. In the midst of stones flying, in the midst of absolute misery, he knew what it was to do what was right, whether he felt like it or not. Brethren, sisters, do what's right. Not what you feel like doing. Do what's right. Not what you feel like doing. That's simple. It's simple enough. And yet in everyday life, let's do what's right. Not what we feel like. This life that we talked about yesterday. This life that I trust in most of us is there. And it's growing and there's some life in us. One of the ways that we must feed this life is by patient continuance. Go to Luke chapter 8. Remember, we were looking at life. And this is that same parable, just in a little different location. That same parable of the seeds, the sower. Luke chapter 8. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside, I'm just going to go over this quickly again. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, taketh away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. There's no life. Right? Is there any life there? They on the rock are they, verse 13, which when they hear, receive the Word. I'm in Luke 8, chapter 8, verse 13. Receive the Word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Now what do we have? We have life, and do we have patience? No patience. We have life, and no patience. And what happens? In time, they fall away. All right. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and they go forth. I should emphasize that. They go forth! And they're choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Was there life? Life? Was there patience? No. They didn't keep going when it got tough. 15. But that on good ground are they, which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, they do what? Keep it. And bring forth fruit with? See that? And they bring forth fruit with patience. If we try to have life, and we try to have this life that we talked about yesterday, but we don't mix it with this patience, perseverance, patient continuance, it seems it dies off. So as we look at this following of Christ, this discipleship, a lifelong journey, and I meditate on this, I see this word patience coming out again. And again and again, it's an absolute necessity if we want this life to be tended, to be properly growing, to continue on all through our long life or short life, whatever we have. But the whole way to the very end, so that someday we can say with the Apostle Paul, I've fought a good fight like we talked about yesterday. We need to put patience in here. And bring forth fruit with patience. The question is not what you do when you feel like being obedient. The question is what you do when you don't feel like it. That's the question. What do you do? The test of your depth is not who you are during Bible school. The test is who you are in the middle of daily life. Right? We all know that. That's the test of who we are. One of my first encounters with an earnest, when I came up smash against a wall with needing to implement patience, was a few years ago when I just began, I don't know, maybe 16 years ago, something like that. I had just began, felt like I was really pressing in, maybe it was 18 years ago, pressing in, I was really meeting with God. I had been earnestly seeking, searching, and I felt like God was meeting with me. In the mornings, the afternoons, when I had time, God was coming and He was meeting with this very unworthy little boy. And it blessed me tremendously. And it was so much so that it was exciting to me. I would set my alarm, but I would set my alarm with excitement. It wasn't a matter of, I got to get up. No, I was meeting with God and God was blessing my heart as I opened this Word and I got on my knees. And it was thrilling to my heart. Then one morning I woke up. What is wrong? No more feelings. Lord, surely there's sin. Surely there's something in me I've got to get rid of. And I wept and I prayed and I fasted and I asked God and I asked counsel and I talked with people and I just kept crying out, God, what's wrong? I cried with verses like Psalm 27:9. Hide not thy face far from me, Lord. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And my heart knit with David as he cried out in this. I didn't understand. Lord, what's going on? I was meeting with you. This was beautiful and exciting. And all of a sudden I get up and it's dead. But if you can imagine, I'm reading along. I came across a verse. It might have been, it was months later. This lasted for a couple years. Months later, I came across this verse in 2 Chronicles 32:31. And God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. I'm not trying to lift up any particular theology here. But as I felt, God feels like, and I know God didn't leave me, but it sure felt like He did. He left me. But I read across that verse and, oh, it was a balm to my soul. Thank you, Lord. You left me to try me, to see what was in my heart. Mickey, you served me for feelings. You served me for, you know, excitement that you get out of it. Or are you going to be patient? Patient through no matter what comes. Patient through the ups. Patient through the downs. Pressing on, pressing forward. I don't know if any of you have ever experienced something like that, but it was difficult for me. It was very difficult for me. But the call of God that came to me was, Mickey, be patient. There's life inside of you, but patiently, just keep going, whether you feel like it or not. Keep going. There was a little plaque hanging in our bathroom. And as a boy, I read it many, many, many times. And it said, faith is keeping on when I'm dog tired, discouraged, disillusioned, dusty, dry, Faith is keeping on when I'm dog tired, discouraged, disillusioned, deserted, dusty, dry, cast on His strength alone. I remember feeling that way, Lord. Tired, weary, not understanding. Don't have the answers. And the call of God was, Mickey, take another step. Take another step. My plea with you here is, young people, no matter what God's allowing you to go through, no matter what difficulty, no matter what trial, no matter what, take another step. Take another step. Do what's right, not what you feel like doing. Do what's right, not what circumstances might push you towards. I remember a minister stood up one time and he said, I can tell you whether you'll make it through persecution or not. And my ears perked up. Oh, because someday I may be faced with beatings, sitting in prisons. And he made that comment and my ears perked up. And I said, what's he going to say? He said, I can tell you whether you're going to make it or not. He said, are you consistently and on a consistent daily basis availing yourself of the grace to overcome your difficulties in life now? If you are, you'll have the grace when the trial gets bigger. Because you will be used, it'll be normal for you to avail yourself of a grace and to overcome. And then you have grace, and that comforts my heart. If I and if you consistently walk in the little bit of grace, it may seem little in light of what some people go through, but we grab that grace and we walk victoriously. We take hold of the grace and we take another step. We take hold of the grace and we overcome sin. We take a hold of the grace and we build a relationship. We take a hold of grace and we walk on. Patience. If we walk in that, then when the trials get bigger, the grace will be bigger. There was a young lady, Anna. Her name was Anna. And her father was a preacher. I guess her father-in-law. And he was caught, thrown in prison. Sat in prison for a few weeks. Finally escaped. The authorities were angry. They found out where he lived and came with their swords and their guns. And they came bashing in the door. Searched the whole house. Didn't care what happened to anything or anybody. They were angry. And they didn't find him. So they grabbed his two sons and Anna, which was the wife of one of the sons. And they hauled him off to prison and stuck him in prison. The two sons, and she left a few months, and they took a few month old baby from her. And there she sat. And there they sat. And we look at that and we say, those are big trials. Will we be able to face them? Young people, how do you face your trials today? How do you face a challenge when it comes to you, even from up here? What do you do with it? Do you grab it and overcome it and go on? Or do you just kind of push it aside? Well, they were faithful. Actually, a few weeks later, the men actually escaped. She was left. Sat in prison for, I think, was it up to 2 years? I kind of forget. She finally escaped. They caught her again. This time she had been living with her husband a while again, but they caught her again. And now she was expecting a baby. And there she was in prison. And they waited until she was about to have the baby. They let her have the baby and kept her chained. Finally, she escaped again. But she stayed faithful. She just stayed faithful. Through in and out of prison, and with and without her children, she just was faithful. She added patience to her life. And she kept going. And praise God, someday we'll get to see her. Someday we will. Why? Because she was faithful. And she followed on this journey clear to the very end. Young people, we need to do the same. Though we don't necessarily expect them to come bursting through the doors with their guns and swords, we need patience. Maybe even a little bit worse than they did. Because our issues, we can easily just shove under the rug and say, well, they're not a big deal. And they're just little issues. And, you know, I'm not going to make big issues out of little things. And so we just shove them under the rug and we go on with life. But if you're not grasping the grace and with patience, making sure that you take the next step forward and allowing the grace of God to change you and mold you, and we're not doing that, life will die. We saw it in the parable of the sower. Life will die. Turn to James chapter 1. I want to give you a mathematical equation that has blessed me. And it helps when you're facing the difficulties. He says in James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Verse 3. But let the trying of your faith worketh what? "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So we have trials. And God says here, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. So if in your trials, you also have patience, and you add these two together, you have trials, and in the midst of your trials, you keep going with patience, and so you stick your patience in there, what do you end up with? Godliness. Perfection, it says. Whole. Perfectly whole. Do you want this? I do. I badly want it. I badly want this. But if I'm looking here, I need to realize you don't get an equals until you add two together. And God says if there's trials in your life, and there's difficulties that come your way, and you make patience with it, patience, step by step, perseverance, step by step by step. You make the right choice and you do the right thing, whether you feel like it or not. You end up with godliness. And I want that. And you want that. You end up with life. You will fester that life and that life will keep growing. The life will keep growing and we'll get to be faithful to the end. There was an old missionary who made the comment. He said, you know, before he died, he said, if I can ever be accounted worth of anything, he said, it'll be because I knew how to plod. He said, I didn't ever do anything very great, but he said, I knew how to plod. And he put one foot in front of the next, in front of the next, in front of the next, in front of the next. And he just kept plodding. And you know, patience, I've also termed holy plodding. That's what it is sometimes. In the longings of our hearts, as we long for this life to grow, we just plod, holy plodding. It's holy and it's godly to put one step down, one step down, one step down. I want us to look at another thing. Go to Luke 6. About this principle of perseverance or patience. You know this verse here. Luke 6, verse 45. And I'm just going to read one verse here to get a principle. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So I'm going to put over here, I'm going to write heart. And it says, out of the heart, we end up with an action. The mouth speaking. We all know that out of our hearts, the root of our hearts, flows actions. And we can look at other scriptures too to find out that the heart is the very seed of who we are. And so out of our heart will flow our actions. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Excuse my jumping around here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21 of chapter 6. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he's saying, lay up. Do something. Make choices. Put forth actions. Accomplish something. And as you lay up treasure, as you do these actions of laying up treasure, he says, oh, there you'll find your heart. Because as there's laying up treasure, as there's actions, what will flow, what it will affect your heart. And then as your heart becomes more pure and more right, and God washes it and cleanses it and life grows, actions will flow out. And as these actions flow out, what does it do? It affects the heart. And as the heart gets affected, there's actions. Isn't this a beautiful cycle? Do you know that this cycle is the death sentence or the life sentence to your life and to my life? This is the problem we have sometimes. Well, my heart's not in it, so I'm not sure. I don't really think I should do it. I have to wait until my heart's in it. You think that's right? I need to wait, you know, it doesn't make sense to me, and I'm not sure that it's, who I am and all that, and so, you know what you're doing? You're doing an action that it'll affect your heart, and so that's who you won't be. And then so you won't be that way, and so you do other actions, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It works that way. But it also works if there's life inside of you, and there truly is life here, and you say, God, I know my heart's not quite right. I need a heart change, Lord. Do you know what you can do? One thing you can do, do what's right, whether you feel like it or not. And as you choose to do what's right, whether you feel like it or not, that's an action. And you'll be laying up some treasure. And you know what will happen? It'll affect your heart. And as your heart changes, and you beg God to keep changing your heart, it will affect your actions. And you keep making the right choices and doing the right thing, whether you feel like it or not, and whether circumstances encourage it or not. And you do what's right instead of what you feel like. You see that? It's a beautiful, exciting thing that if you'll see this, it is a tremendous help to holiness. Can I call it that? It's a tremendous help to the growth of this life inside of you as you makes patience in your life. Patient continuance. And you keep going forward. I'm going to mention four characteristics of a person of patience. Four characteristics of a person of patience. I'm sure you could come up with more. But how you deal with these four issues towards yourself and towards others will tell a great deal about your future depth and your future, whether you will make it to the very end. Number one, faithfulness in little things. A person of patience. I think you'll find many times a person of patience will be faithful in the little things. And that means, and we could go, I'm not going to, for the sake of time, Luke 19:11 through 27, he that is faithful in least is faithful also in much. There's many verses you can look at. I think we all know. When God says to be faithful in that which is least, and then you'll also be faithful in much, we know that. Are you faithful in the little things? You find someone who is very, very faithful in the little things. And I want you to realize what he's doing. He's spinning this wheel and he's feeding his life. He's feeding it. He's feeding it. He's feeding it. Oh, but that's just a little thing. Yeah, that's right. It is a little thing. And little things matter. And little things are important. Be faithful in the little things. Maybe sometimes you'll find also people, they'll say, well, that's a lesser issue in the Word of God. Oh, okay. Be faithful in it. If you want to call something a little bit of a lesser issue, good, fine. People who have patience will be concerned about little things and they'll be faithful in them. Be faithful in them, young people. Your parents ask you to do something and you think it seems awful little. Be faithful in it. Don't say it's little and kick it out. You start going the wrong way. And you won't get this. Be faithful in the little things. I don't know what they are in your life. Probably different for each of us. I thought about going down through a whole bunch of list of little things. But be faithful in them. In the little things of family life. Of helping and caring and sharing and relationships and comments. Be faithful in them. Be faithful in your words and how you communicate. Be faithful. Be faithful in your clothes and how you dress. Be faithful. You think it's little? It's not. Okay, it is little, sure. It's important because little things matter. And God's watching what we do with these little things. And if we're walking with persistence and perseverance in the little things. Number two, in a characteristics of a person of patience, number two, you'll find discipline. You can go to many different places. 1 Corinthians, I have down here, 1 Corinthians 9, 25 through 27. Discipline yourself. Beat your body under, I think it says there. Do it. When it's the right thing to do, whether you feel like it or not, do it. Be faithful. And you'll find someone who's disciplined. And he's faithful in the little things, and he's disciplined. When this should be done, that's what's done. When that should be done, that's what's done. He disciplines himself. Number three, he's selfless. He didn't think about himself. He thinks about others. How can I help others? How can I bless others? Not lifting up myself, whether it's the way people perceive me. That happens too. Yeah, and I wrote down here, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. I forget all that says there. So listen, a person of patience will be selfless as he goes through life. He won't think about himself. He'll think about others. And he'll walk with patience. He'll put one foot down in front of the other. This might not be quite as exciting as when we talk about life and revival. Young people, it must be there if we're going to walk on steadily, faithfully, make it to the very end. There must be patience. Doing what's right, whether we feel like it or not, when we don't feel like it. Then number four, a person of patience will usually be a servant. He'll understand servanthood. Again, he's not thinking of himself. Our Lord Jesus was the ultimate example. He came down and became a servant, it says in Philippians 2. And became a servant and he served. Because he was concerned about others. He wasn't concerned about himself. And so whether that means in the home, or whether that means across the ocean, or whether that means in your local church, someone who's faithful day in and day out. And he serves. And he serves. And he gives. And he's just patient. 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 Persevering. Serving. Helping others. Not looking to himself, but looking to bless others. This is the call of God in patience. We need to add patience to this life. if we want this life to continually be to be fed and to grow and to stay. You're singing. I sing this with my boys. Three fine young men of Babylon. I have three boys and one girl. And we sing this. And you all were singing, and it inspired me. It says, "The God we serve rules over all. He heeds the cry of great and small. The God we serve is with us now. We will not bend. We will not bow. Even in little things. Because you'll be patient. You'll be persevering." Young people, don't bow. Don't bow when self peeks up its head and wants to show itself off. Don't bow. Don't bow when you know your flesh wants to do this and you're not sure if you should. And there's a little check in your heart. Don't bow! Realize, whether I feel like it or not, I'm going to choose what's right. As you sing that later on this week, I trust you mean it. In absolutely everything in your life, don't bow. In your little booklets, I think I have to write down these applications. All right, get your pen out. Write them down. I think I have 29 today. I don't know how you're going to fit that on when you only have 20 slots. Probably I should have put some of them together. But I just want you to think about this. What does this mean in my life? Patience. 29 ways to strengthen patience in my life. Number one, and I'm just going to make you write this. I know I've said it already. Maybe some of you have already written it down. But do what's right, not what you feel like doing. Number one, do what's right, not what you feel like doing. It's that simple. And do you know sometimes you need some help with that? Sometimes you need to ask your parents. Sometimes you need to ask your elders. What's right in this situation? Papa, I don't feel like feeding the pigs. Well, son, that doesn't even matter. I tell him that sometimes. Oh, it doesn't even matter. Feelings should have a very, very small part in it. That doesn't even matter. Number two, die to yourself quietly. Number two, die to yourself quietly. Don't make a big deal of it. When you have to die, when your flesh is kicking, when you don't feel like serving, any of these things, true patience, a man of patience and perseverance, just do it quietly. He didn't have to make a big show of, oh, that was so difficult and that was so hard. And no. Just die quietly. Number three, strengthening patience in your life, usually keep your feelings in check. Be careful with these feelings. Usually keep your feelings in check. Oh, there's a time to weep before God, and there's a time to cry with someone that you're talking with, and there's a time to out in the backwoods all alone, to leap for joy. Note I said all alone. There's a time for those things. But usually, keep your feelings in check and do what's right and act what's right and think what's right and say what's right, not what you feel like. Number four, finish what you start. Just trying to be very practical. You want to feed patience in your life? Finish what you start. You start a book. Finish it. Okay, if it's not worthwhile and it's terrible, by all means, don't. But finish it. Start a job. Complete it. Don't leave it undone. Complete it. Sometimes it'll take perseverance. Press on through. You're in the middle of a project and I'm not sure if it's going to work out. And finish it. Learn to persevere. Number five, keep your commitments. That's hard sometimes. Keep your commitments. You say you'll be here, you'll help there, or whatever. Try to keep your commitments. Again, I know there's times when you can and there's times when you can need to gracefully back out, but keep your commitments. Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult. Number six, Learn to be tidy. Do. Keep it neat. Not sloppy. Humdrum, slapping things around. No. Disciplined. Tidy. Clear. Those things are good. They're a blessing. Number 7. Be on time. If it's 6 o'clock, be there at 6 o'clock. Be faithful. Do what you do, what you should do, not what you feel like, not what you want to do, not what works best in the circumstances. Be faithful. Be on time. So that somebody, they says, if they're talking to someone else, I'd like them to think that they'll say, oh, 9 o'clock, well, Mick will be there. Be faithful. Trustworthy. Consistent. That's someone who perseveres. Number 8, use money sparingly on yourself and more freely for others. Use money sparingly on yourself if it's just for yourself. Use it sparingly. See it as God's. And do what's right, not what you feel like. You feel like a Mountain Dew? Well, you decide. Maybe there's a time to drink a Mountain Dew. I'm not sure. I'll be real honest with you. But do what's right, not what you feel like. If you need some food, okay, you need some food. But do you have to go buy something that's expensive or junk or whatever to feed your flesh? You find your way in those things. But do what's right, not what you feel like. Use money sparingly on yourself and more freely to bless, if it's to bless others. Number 9, make sure you completely fulfill directives. Completely fulfill them. Some of us know what it's like to be on a job and you have a couple of people with you and you know, well, if I ask him to do it, it'll be done, no question. He'll take care of it. If I ask him to do it, I'll have to check on it. Completely fulfill them. Completely. Be faithful. Just a little thing. Yeah, a little thing. Do it right. Number 10. Do things that need to be done without being asked. Do things that need to be done without being asked. You see something needs to be done, do it. Do it quietly. Nobody has to know. You helped or you did something or just do it. Be faithful. Someone who can just do what they're supposed to do, whether they feel like it or not. Number 11. Do the dirty jobs. Be willing to do those. You're supposed to clean the church house. You be the one that says, I'll clean the bathrooms. Not in some pious, self-lifting up way. Just be willing to serve. Do the dirty jobs. Or if there's another worse in the bathroom, whatever. Number 12. Make decisions based on what blesses others. Make decisions as you go through life. And you put one foot down and you make another decision. Not on what blesses yourself, but what blesses others. Do what's right. Whether you feel like it or not. Number 13. Be disciplined in eating. Be disciplined in eating. Eat what's good, needful, right. Number 15. I'm sorry, 14. I skipped one, didn't I? 14. Think before you speak. Just stop and think before you speak. So that you do what's right. Usually stuff blurted out. I shouldn't say usually. Sometimes stuff blurted out. Doesn't always come out right. Think before you speak. Number 15, minimize exaggeration. Minimize exaggeration. Please. Some of you may not agree with me with this, in fact. Yeah, you may not. But do what's right, not what you feel like. Minimize it. Number 16, I'm sorry, maybe it's a bit repetitive. 16 says, choose what's right, not what you want. I guess that is a bit repetitive. But choose what's right. Number 17, consistent is what I'm pushing here. Consistently have quiet time. Number 17, consistently. Be consistent about it. Why? Because there'll be times when you won't feel like it. And there'll be times when it's not very convenient. and if you do what's right instead of what you feel like. And you learn to be a person that does what's right instead of what you feel like. And you do what's right instead of what you feel like. There's blessing. A man of patience. 18. Set manageable goals for Bible reading and prayer and then keep them. Not only have it, but set some goals. Some manageable goals. Set them and keep them. It's that simple. There's blessing. Faithfully putting one foot in front of the other. 19. Use a schedule to help direct your time. Just sleeping into whenever you want, and eating this whenever you want, and going there whenever you want. No, and I realize most of you are probably forced into this, but learn to do it even when you're not forced into it with a job or with whatever. Schedule. Discipline. Use a schedule to help direct your time. 20. Be careful with having too much of life comfortable and easy. Be careful. It'll just soften your perseverance. And it just makes you kind of weak. Be careful with having too much of life comfortable and easy. Be careful. There might be a time to say, you know what? I don't need that. I'm pleading with you that there is. Whether it's food or stuff or things or clothes, whatever it is. Be careful with having life too comfortable and easy. 21. I'm not sure where you're going to go. Do you have a place in your paper somewhere to go? Purposefully direct your mind through the day. Purpose. Work on this mind. I have found that to be work, to direct my mind through the day. Set your watch if you need to beep every hour, whatever it is. And whenever that thing beeps, lift it to God. But purposefully direct your mind as you go through the day. Put it on things that matter. Choose to put your mind where it should be rather than where it wants to be. Same principle. See it? Do what's right with your mind, not what just happens. 22. Sing solid songs throughout the day. Sing solid songs throughout the day. 22. It's another way to help direct your mind. And not light stuff. I forget who was talking about. A lot of the music today is fairly self-centered. I won't bless a patient man. Make it God-centered. That's why I threw the word solid in there. 23. Memorize Scripture throughout the day and quote it throughout the day. Use that to direct your mind. Direct your mind. Purposefully make decisions and make actions that will affect your heart that then will come out in actions that will affect your heart and it'll bless life. Same principle. Number 24. Don't waste time. Don't waste time. Redeem the time. If I thought you needed more homework, I'd tell you to find a verse on every one of these, and I think you could do it. I think I could do it. For every one of these. Don't waste time. You have a few minutes, or you have a whatever. Don't just sit down and fritter it away. Use it for God. Do something profitable. Serve others. Pick up His Word. Get on your knees. Whatever it is. Read a profitable book. Do something profitable. Fill your time. Do what's right, not what you feel like. 25. Be diligent in tasks at hand. Do it with your might. Earnestly. Diligently. Whether you feel like it or not. Do the tasks at hand. 26. Learn to communicate on deep subjects. Some of us may need to just learn to communicate. Learn to do it. Here I said, learn to communicate on deep subjects. Sometimes that's hard for some of us. Learn to actually share what's really going on in your heart and your feelings. And yeah, share them. Learn to really share them and connect with people and ask people to help and pray with you. And some of you, that's easy. You practice it a lot. But some of you, some practice in that. I realize some of these are old hat to some of you and some of them aren't. Number 27. Learn how to be a small part of a large group. Learn how to be one small part of a large group. That's not always easy. Especially if self kind of wants to be a large part of the group. It wants to make a difference. It wants to be in the front. It wants to whatever. Maybe you don't. Some of you, that's no big deal, but learn how to be a part. So those of you who would wish to be a big part, learn how to be a small part. And those of you who would wish to just be almost nothing part, learn how to be a part. Learn how to plug in and push someone else's goals forward and help someone else accomplish what they want. And you just stay hidden. Learn how to be a part. Small part, all hidden in a group. Whatever group activities you have. 28, adapt to others' preferences. Adapt to others' preferences. What would you prefer? And look for ways to know what they would prefer and do that. Others-centered. Servanthood, 29, learn to relate to all. Maybe if you find it hard to relate to me, you should come up and talk to me. Learn to relate to all. Not just the people you like to click with and that are fun. Learn to relate to all. Can you write these 10 scriptures down in your 10 scripture slot if you didn't fill it up with the points? Number one, Luke 21:19. Luke 21:19. Romans 5:3-4. Romans 5:3-4. Number three, Romans 15:4-5. Romans 15:4-5. Number four, Colossians 1:11. Colossians 1:11. Number five, 1 Thessalonians 1:3. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Am I going too fast? No? Number 6, 1 Timothy 6:11. 1 Timothy 6:11. Number 7, Hebrews 6:12. Hebrews 6:12. Number 8, James 5:10-11. James 5:10-11. Number 9, Revelation 1:9. Revelation 1:9. And number 10, Revelation 14:12. Revelation 14:12. Let's be patient people who add patience to their life. In the little things and the big things, we persevere. We press on. And we choose what's right, whether we feel like it or not. We seek God to change our heart, and we make this thing spin the right way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you, Lord, that you want us to live very practical, patient, persevering lives. The other half of revival, as I've called it here today. Lord, will you bless these young people and help them, Lord, whether some are struggling with lack of victory, they're not being persevering through to have victory in their life, or whether it's relationships, or whether they're doing well and they just need the encouragement of being a patient follower of Jesus. I pray you bless them. Bless each one, Lord, and speak to each one of us. Help us, Lord. We want to be patient. We want to fulfill and grasp your grace in every way that we can so that someday, no matter what happens, no matter whether we're beaten and sit in prison or we just need to keep living life in North America the way it is, we'll be faithful and we'll hear you say, well done. Well done. You patient son, persevering son. Please, Lord, make us each one that, Lord. We each one want to be faithful to the end, and I long for these young people all to be faithful to the very end. Bless us, Father. We need you. Bless them as they go to their prayer and sharing time. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay, you're dismissed to your prayer and sharing time. If you could go directly there.